This spot was a carry. Armies traveled along waterways, the closest thing to a road. But there were rapids and waterfalls, and travelers had to get out of their boats, unload all of their supplies, carry everything around the unnavigable parts of the river, and then get back in the water. Portage, they called it. And the spots where they pulled out and unloaded and put in again were called carries.
It says here that forts were often built beside the carries as they provided a place for safe storage. Often, their use for a military purpose came second. I didn't know that. Can we still see any signs of these forts? Or is it all gone, cut and carved away?
If you stand here at the Little Carrying Place historic marker and look across the Hudson River at the peninsula, you'll notice an incline that levels off.
Okay, incline leveling off.
That incline was man-made, an earth wall that protected a fort during the French-Indian War. That earth wall was called a glacis.
Oh, I can see that.
By the time Vosmus and Baum were here, the fort was in ruins.
And this is where Baum's expedition leaves the rest of Burgoyne's army behind.
Yeah, no. The diary says that on August 10th, the troops get a day of rest.
But they just started.
They were stalled. They were ordered to leave their tents behind so they could travel light and move fast.
What's going on? Why aren't we moving? Come on!
But they're still here.
Well, they aren't ready for the expedition yet. They need translators, scouts, guides. But the next day, August 11th...
Baum's ready.
His mission? To raid the small settlement of Bennington and its scantily guarded supply depot along the Willumsick River.
We set out at noon, and our corps, which Lieutenant Colonel Baum commanded, consisted of our Dragoon regiment, not quite 200 men strong, Tories, savage Mohawks, Canadians and Englishmen. The 2 3-pound cannon were being drawn along in front of our regiment. This was the corps designated for the expedition.